In Russia, prosecutors say they have finished preparing their case against jailed oil baron Mikhail Hodorkovsky and have handed him a copy of the report. The trial date, they say, depends on how long it takes the defendant to read the 30,000-page document. Part of the government's case concerns the privatization 10 years ago of a state-owned fertilizer factory. It's considered a textbook example of the dubious sell-offs of former Soviet state property during the 1990s. NPR's Lauren Sheets reports from Moscow that the case may lead to the reopening of other privatization deals.
Imagine going to an auction where a good painting or some antiques are up for sale. You end up going home with the item for bids, even though someone else offers to pay 4 times the price. In 1994, that was the good fortune of a company with ties to Mikhail Hodorkovsky. The item up for sale was a 20% stake in a fertilizer factory called Apatit. The winner bid $1 billion. But when it came time to pay up, that firm and all but one of all the other auction participants backed down. In the end, the lowest bidder, which had offered just a quarter of the price, was declared the winner by default. Stephen O'Sullivan is chief research analyst at UFG Investment Bank in Moscow.
I think that it's a fairly typical example. If you look at the big privatizations, quite often there were only one or two bidders. They went to allegedly favored friends of the administration, etc., at what today we see as knockdown prices.
The government says Hodorkovsky and his associates used front companies to rig the auction and that they actually controlled all 4 firms doing the bidding. O'Sullivan says the legal vacuum that existed in Russia at the time meant such practices, although questionable, were widespread.
We were operating then in a totally different environment. The Soviet legal code had not really been replaced by a Russian legal code. The Soviet legal code basically didn't cover business. There was no business in the Soviet Union, so why would you bother covering it?
Indeed, at first, the Russian government didn't seem to see the Apatit case as any different than many other questionable privatizations. Last spring, the firm which acquired Apatit paid $15.5 million to the state to settle the case, and the prosecutor's office closed its books on the matter. Mikhail Hodorkovsky, who had risen to run Russia's biggest oil company, Yukos, was by that time becoming an increasingly vocal Kremlin critic. He was also spending millions of dollars to fund anti-Putin political activity, and Yukos lobbyists aggressively tried to get Russia's oil export laws changed, in part to boost the company's already booming bottom line. Suddenly, the Apatit case was reopened. In addition to tax evasion charges, Hodorkovsky and several of his associates are accused of trying to bilk the government out of $1 billion in the privatization of the fertilizer plant. Pro-Kremlin lawmaker Vladimir Yudin denies the case against Hodorkovsky is politically motivated. When it can be proven that property changed hands through thievery and corruption, the perpetrators must be put in jail, Yudin says. Yudin, who is deputy chairman of the lower house of parliament's Committee on Business, goes further. He argues for an examination of more privatization deals from the 1990s. That kind of talk raises alarm bells among investment bankers like Stephen O'Sullivan.
One has to bear in mind the damage that any revision of the 90s privatizations does to the overall investment environment.
O'Sullivan says undoing even a limited number of the state sell-offs will scare investors away from deals with privatized Russian companies. President Vladimir Putin has vowed there won't be a wholesale revision of privatization. But some analysts here say public anger over how state property was divvied up at the end of communism could lead to populist calls for more investigations. Lawrence Sheets, NPR News, Moscow.